Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. If you are not familiar with the show and you're saying, what kind of show is this? I've been doing the show since 2011, and it's a little bit of inspiration. It's people sharing their stories of how they switch gears through life's ups and downs and the crazy roller coaster ride that we seldom find ourselves on. And if you visit the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, you can learn more. And all of my guests since 2011 are on there, even the ones in the pandemic where we were Zooming all the time. But I'm really excited to kick off this week's show with Julia Bendis. She's a third generation matchmaker, author, and comedian. She just had a sold out show on Sunday, and I heard it was stellar. I wish I could have gone, but she's joining us right now. Good morning, Julia.
Morning.
How are you? You've had so much going on.
I do. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on.
My pleasure.
Always such a pleasure.
My pleasure. You know, we don't know each other all that well, but we've become friends a little bit here and there, and you're so supportive of what I do, and I really appreciate that. I don't think people do that enough, is, you know, show up. And, well, you know, you just did a comedy show.
Right, exactly. Yes, even some of my family members didn't show up,
no.
So I do know what you mean.
Oh, no.
It's hard. And, you know, I love supporting other people, especially women. That's been my whole life mission, yeah. I feel.
I can tell.
And it's, you have to do it. You have to support other people. You have to support other women. So
yes.
I'm always happy to do that.
Amazing. So before we dive in, because we've chatted before, tell listeners a little bit about your background. You were born in Ukraine, raised in Latvia, just
right.
before you immigrated,
right.
and how you landed here.
Right. Well, yeah, so I was born in Ukraine because my mom is from there. And it's funny, that's kind of where my comedy comes from, is whenever people ask me, where are you from? I hear a little bit of an accent. You know, I go into like this anxiety mode of like, oh, God, how do I explain this? Because I was born in Ukraine, but we lived in Latvia because that's where my dad is from. It was all part of USSR, former USSR, Soviet Union, but I am Jewish,
mm-hmm.
and I speak Russian, you know, which has nothing to do with Ukraine or Latvia, but it was the one language in all of USSR.
Sure.
And in 1989, right before the collapse of Soviet Union, we finally were allowed and able to immigrate. We saw we were going to Israel because we didn't know which country would allow us to go to come in. So we did come directly to Orange County because we had family here, and they sort of, you know, vouched for us or whatever it was called. So that's how we ended up here. We really were coming here for a better life, escaping persecution as Soviet Jews do.
Sure.
And it's been, what, 36 years now?
Amazing. That's a long time.
Yes.
And so then at what point did you decide you wanted to become a matchmaker?
That's kind of a funny story. You know, I feel like that profession just chose me. I never actually decided. It just kind of happened because I was always meddling in people's love lives and sex lives. And,
that's funny.
You know, my husband just finally said, why don't you just start a business? You know, stop talking to people, strangers on the street, asking them if they're single. Just create a business. And I thought, is that possible? Because that was one of the yeah. first matchmakers, really. It wasn't really a thing. It was something you did back in Eastern Europe, you know,
sure.
Especially Jewish, Ukrainian
yes.
women. This is what we all do.
Sure.
And decided to finally start a business many, many years ago. It's over 20 years ago. And it just kind of blew up from there. But it definitely was never on my radar. I was going to school for social work. I just wanted to help people.
Okay.
But always meddling in people's love lives.
Well, you're helping people by meddling in their love life, so, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So, in the pandemic, you know, you probably found yourself wondering, okay, how do I pivot? How do I help people? I mean, what did you see post-pandemic as far as dating? Were people much more introverted?
Well, that's the thing, and I realized that COVID really kind of ruined all of us. People have forgotten how to be face-to-face with someone, how to have conversations. Common sense, you know, kind of went by the wayside. So everyone wanted to meet virtually, which is really hard. You don't really get to know someone virtually, you know, that's not dating. So I did have to pivot, and it was very tough. Those 2 years was very hard on people were still coming to me because they were so lonely, and especially if they're living alone, completely alone. So it was very challenging, but we kind of got through it, you know, all of us. And I had events before COVID. I kind of started to do a little bit of them after COVID as well. We had virtual events. We had support groups. And I still feel like people lost some skills during that time, right? Yeah. Especially young people.
Yes. Well, I'm still seeing that now with the work I do, and they share with me how they feel socially anxious. They have a hard time. I mean, certainly, you know, even I've seen older folks, we're on our phones in social situations because it's like our little, you know, security blanket.
Exactly. Yes, I see it in all ages. It's interesting. And I feel like I've even become, you know, I'd rather send a voice message than actually talk on the phone now. And then I said, no. We have to pick up the phone. We have to get our brains working. We have to communicate.
Yes.
We're going to lose skills, you know, forever.
Okay. So I agree with you. And I decided for this year I would use the phone the way it's intended, to make phone calls and less texting, and also make plans with people to really connect in person, because that's so important. Do you find sometimes, because I have, where if you pick up the phone and people don't know you're calling, they get kind of startled?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I first saw it with my kids, because the younger generations, you know, my boys are 20 and 26 now, and they would get so startled. The phone is ringing, and they're like, oh my God, someone's calling me. Who's calling me? And I'd be like, what are you talking about? It's a phone. Just pick it up.
That's the point.
They'd be like, why are they calling me instead of texting? And, you know, I had to have a conversation with them that this is a normal human behavior.
Right.
To want to talk to another person.
Yes.
I think that's a big reason why I started to kind of pivot after my book came out, and I started doing stand-up shows, open mic nights, is because I wanted to connect with people, and I wanted to share my story and make people laugh in person.
Yes.
During COVID, I did a lot of virtual events, a lot of virtual comedy shows.
You know,
everybody had a podcast or a YouTube channel.
Yes.
I got so tired of that. I wanted to see people
absolutely
in person.
Yes. And it's so funny because, like I said, people don't use a phone the way it's intended. People are on social media and texting and not dialing, not, you know, connecting. I love the power, the sound of someone's voice.
Exactly. Yes. I think, you know, and I was talking to my husband about it. I said, you know, I'm going to just get rid of my smartphone. Or complete, just get a dumb phone,
landline
again.
Yeah, oh, the landline.
And then just have a computer, like we used to back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Use computer for emails and work and writing and whatever else, because I feel like that was healthier.
Yes. So you're going to get one of those phones with the cord?
I think so. I love those. God, I remember when we were younger, teenagers, I used to love sitting and blabbing on the phone with your girlfriends for hours.
Yes. Yeah, I remember my dad picking up saying, get off the phone, because you're blabbing for hours.
I remember that.
Oh, too. Yeah. And he'd just pick up the phone and listen. I'm like, Dad.
I know you're there.
I know you're there. He's like, go do your homework.
Right.
Anyway, wait, I got to tell you a funny story now that we're talking about my dad, and I'll make it quick. So if a guy would call up, you know, I'm in high school, and he'd say, you know, Janine there, and he'd say, yup, and he'd hang up on him. Because he never said hello, like my dad expected. Hello, my name is Mark. How are you? Is this Mr. Bernstein? You know, and my dad was, you know, old fashioned, but the guy was rude, you know. It's like, Janine there, yup. Click.
Yep. Goodbye. Oh my God. That's exactly what my dad would do too.
Right.
It is very much, you know, the very traditional, old-fashioned, and when people would come to our house, it was the same way. It was like, okay, so, you know, my parents are Soviets, you know, they're immigrants. You have to greet them. You have to say hello before you come up to my room or before we sit down and talk or go anywhere. If you don't greet them, you'll never be back in this house again.
Like, that's right.
You have to make eye contact.
And yes.
My kids would have to train their friends to do the same thing in our house. You know, well, my mom's an immigrant, you know, she's very old-fashioned, traditional. I'm like, well, I'm not, but yes, it would be nice if your friends come in and they greet me. This is my house.
Yes.
Say hello, and then you can do whatever it is that you're doing.
Yes.
I get it.
So as a matchmaker, do people like those kind of manners, or they just, they don't even think about it?
They don't even think about it anymore. I mean, my older clients, obviously, it's a very different generation. It's, hello, how are you? You know, there's a class, so to speak. But the younger generations, anyone under the age of 35, I feel like they just, they don't have those skills.
Yeah.
And they don't care and they don't think about it. And I have to, like, I got a text from a client who's in his early 30s, and he was just, one sentence about, okay, well, me and so-and-so are probably going to be friends. Just wanted to let you know we're not continuing our relationship. And I replied with, hello, Michael. How are you? I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And then he responded, oh, I'm sorry. How are you? You know, you have to teach them.
You do.
It's kind of sad.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
and I feel, yesterday someone asked me, which was wonderful, we were on a Zoom meeting, so before we even started, so how are you? No, really, how are you? And that is so refreshing. I started asking, how are you really? And you, I feel like it's important to give people space. Obviously, you know, oversharing is total buzzkill, right? Especially when it comes to matchmaking. But I can't speak.
Right.
But, you know, being able to be human is good.
Yes, and I think that's a really, it's an American thing. You know, we ask, how are you? How's it going?
Yeah.
What's going on? But we don't really wait for the answer.
No.
And I think for, especially for someone like me, you know, from raised in a totally different culture, when someone asks that, that means they really want to know. We don't just ask, you know, especially us Slavic people, we don't ask how are you unless we really want to know, because that's just how our culture is. And so when someone asks me that, I turn around and I say, well, you know, my father passed, this, and and they just look at me like, wait, you're actually telling me how you're doing?
Yes,
you asked. And it's very strange, because people, you know, it's a memory thing. It kind of like a muscle memory, right? We just say, hey, how's it going?
Yes.
We're not really listening for the answer. So I am trying to train people, educate people, that you really should ask. Or if someone says, you know, I lost someone, I always ask them, what was their name? Let's say their name. Let's remember them.
Yes.
You know?
Okay, so here's the next level of that. You probably have to teach them how to respond, because there's a discomfort on the receiving end, right? People don't know what to say if you say, my father passed.
Right. Yes. It's a lot. People are very uncomfortable with death. And I learned that the hard way. And in the beginning, because it's been about almost 2 years now, I was getting so mad at people, and my mom was getting so mad at people, the way they would respond. And then I started thinking, you know, people just don't know what to say, because I put myself in that position. And you don't want to say too much, because you don't want to upset the person if they seem okay.
Right? Yes.
And then you don't want to say too little. So saying, oh, I'm so sorry, to me just feels like it's not enough.
I know.
But at the same time, you know, what? It's an uncomfortable situation, and it's tough. And I think just being there and listening and saying, listen, I'm here for you.
Yes.
If you want to talk about it, I think that's the best way to respond to that, to me.
Yes, and also you can be honest. You could say, you know, obviously I haven't sat in your shoes. I don't know what you're going through, but if there's anything I can do, I'm just here for you. You know, you can be truthful, you know.
Right. I think the worst thing that people do is they try to relate, so they always come back with, oh, yes, I lost my uncle, mm-hmm. you know, 20 years ago or whatever it is. And it's like, this isn't one-upping each other. You know, this isn't a competition.
Yes.
It's the same with relationships. When I tell people to communicate, you need to absorb what that person is saying first before you come back with whatever your thing is that relates to theirs.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it does.
And I think people don't realize that, right? Sometimes we just want to relate. So we're like, oh, yes, I understand. This happened to me too. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, wait, did you hear what I just said? Can you just absorb it for 1 minute and just nod? You don't have to say anything. Just nod. Just be there and be present so that person feels like you truly heard them before you're moving on to your thing, right?
I agree. I completely agree. Okay, I have to dive into comedy. So with all this life experience, is that what led you to comedy? Because you just have so much inspiration?
It really did. You know, it's interesting because I was thinking about writing my book, my funny short stories book. It's called No Smiling Allowed, which, mm-hmm. you know, very apropos for where we're from.
Yes.
And I started writing it probably like 20, 30 years ago. Just writing down stories that I wouldn't forget. And I would give it to people to read, and they would be laughing. And in my head, they weren't funny. They were just life stories from my life, my parents' life, immigrating, living in this country, not knowing anything, the language, culture. And people were laughing hysterically at these stories. And I thought, oh, my God, is this a funny book? So when it finally came together and people were asking me to take it on the road, basically, you know, can you tell us more stories? Can you come read this book at a bookstore? But of course, COVID happened, so everything became virtual and there was no more in-person events.
No.
Then I thought, as soon as we get out of this pandemic, I got to do open mic nights. I got to do stand-up. There's just so many funny, relatable things and stories that people will relate to. So, and then of course the matchmaking, you know, the stories from my business and my kids and being married and, you know, life.
Yes.
So, yes.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. So tell me about your show on Sunday.
Oh, it was amazing. We had to turn off ticket sales because we were running out of space for people.
That's great.
And we probably had over 80 people at one point, and
fantastic.
Some were standing. So it was, you know, it was incredible because I had a great lineup with 10 comedians who were just amazing.
Love it.
And that made it so great. And this is something I plan on doing at least once a month. We're looking for new venues.
Okay.
You know, if there's venues open to doing great comedy shows, appreciate it. And it was incredible. There was so much love and laughter, and it was just more than I could have expected from my first show, hosting a first show.
Well, like I said, I mean, you have gained so much life experience, and you're an observer of life, and also people need laughter. I think we're craving that laughter, and also being in person next to one another, and being, you know, focusing on our social health.
Yes, there's a lot of really bad things happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly when I would tell people, oh, I have a comedy show coming up, you should come. The first thing they would say is, oh, my God, I need this right now. I need this so bad. Thank you so much for telling me, or thank you for the email, or I'm so glad I saw it online. And the text messages that I was receiving after made me cry.
Oh.
It was just not just that it was funny and great comedians and you were great and whatever.
Yeah.
But it was that I needed this. I needed a night of laughter. I needed 2 hours to just laugh.
That's right.
And forget about the world and the injustices that are happening everywhere.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And there's a YouTube link, right? Is it up on YouTube?
Yes, it's on my YouTube, which is just at Julia Bendis. But, yes, I post all of my shows, whether it's open mic or any comedy that I do. It's on YouTube and social media, which is the best way for people to, if they follow me, they'll know about the next shows.
Fantastic. And so if people are listening and think, you know what, I want to get into comedy, where did she start? I mean, how did you, especially if people, were you nervous? I mean, were you never nervous behind the mic?
Oh, God, yeah. That's a whole other comedy thing. That's literally part of my material.
Okay.
Is that I don't eat that whole day because I can't, you know, my stomach and my head, and I'm so nervous. It's nerve-wracking. It really is. But the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Yes.
And it's more of an excitement than a nervous thing. But yes, I'm super nervous. That was part. I had so much material, but I was so scared to get on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I just forced myself. I said, just do it. And honestly, I feel like I kind of just black out when I'm there because I'm just talking. Just like we're talking now.
So funny.
And just do, it's almost like storytelling.
Yes.
So yeah. There's a way to get more comfortable, and it's all with time. You just, the more you do it,
definitely,
the more comfortable you become.
Very true. I don't know how you go without eating, but I mean, you could kind of put that into your comedy shtick. Like if you see somebody in the front row eating French fries, just go over there. I haven't eaten all day. Wow. Thanks.
Exactly. I kind of did that at the show.
Good.
You know, I
Good.
Got a little bit of food. I had like one or two bites because I knew I had to have some food in me. But
yeah.
When I get nervous, I can't eat. That's my weight loss program, really. You know, just make myself nervous, and then I just never eat.
Oh, God. She was amazing until she fainted.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, it'll be funny at least, right?
I don't know about that. She fainted into the guy's cheeseburger. What advice would you give someone who, you know, they're starting out? What's it like around Orange County? Are there places for people to kind of get their feet wet?
Well, and that's the thing. That's part of the reason why I decided to do more comedy shows or create comedy shows in Orange County, is because everything is either in L.A., Long Beach, or very North Orange County, you know, Anaheim, Santa Ana. There's really nothing in South Orange County.
Right.
I think it's been kind of known as more conservative area, but people want it, and they want it badly. I mean, so many people came out, and they keep asking me when the next show is. So you need to start going to open mics. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
It's hard because you get 3 to 5 minutes, and it's very hard to get all of that out in such a short period of time. But, you know, reach out to me, and I'll put you up. I love giving new comics a chance. I mean, I'm sort of new.
Mm-hmm.
So open mics is the first place, and I'm trying to develop more in South Orange County because there's really nothing out here.
Right.
And that's the only way to do it. Just write it, then go and try it out anywhere. Even like Cook's Corner, I think we were trying to do something there because they do have open mic nights, but for music.
Oh.
There's a lot of music open mic nights.
Trying
to create more.
That's great. So do you think you are going to do something at Cook's Corner?
I'm going to try. Yes,
okay.
It's a very different kind of audience there. You know, it's very specific.
Yes.
But people want to laugh, and they don't care, you know, whether you're a conservative or a liberal or whatever. If a joke is funny, it's funny, period.
Exactly. So
right?
Have you heard of Lectures on Tap?
I have.
It makes me think that if you could even find a venue, a restaurant that has a little stage area or that would let you do this while people ate, just a thought. Maybe you've already explored that, but I love what you're doing because I feel that people do want this here. I've even seen events that are for 50 plus and they promote it as, and you'll be back home by, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock in your pajamas. And you
get,
people are like, don't want to be uncomfortable. And it's like, okay, come in your pajamas to Julia's comedy show.
Yeah, please don't.
No, you know, I mean, it's...
Please don't. No, but it's true. When I first started as a, you know, mother and I had kids in school and I had to be up 4 in the morning, I didn't want to be out there at 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock at night waiting for my turn to go up on stage. Some of them start at 8.
Yes.
And it goes on all night. And that's the hardest thing, is that it's not meant and it's not created for women, especially for mothers.
Yeah.
So I decided to create my own that, you know, doors open at 5. We'll be done by 8. You'll be home by 8:30, you know, which is perfect for me.
So funny. People years ago didn't even talk about this, you know? Now we have to assure people, you'll be home, you'll be in your bed, you'll be tucked in.
I know. Right. And it's okay, you know?
Yeah, it's okay.
But
people
I think
won't
that's
bite.
What happened because of COVID.
I agree. People don't like to be uncomfortable. I know.
Mm, and out late.
I'm sorry, what?
And out late.
I know.
They definitely don't want to do that.
I know. So where can people find out more about you, if you have a newsletter, things like that?
Yes, they can definitely get on my email list. All they have to do is just email me. It's just juliabendis@gmail.com, or they can go to my website, which is matchbyjulia.com. My YouTube, it's all Julia Bendis. So all social media, YouTube is Julia Bendis. They'll find me and just send me a message, get on the list, subscribe. You know, it's
fantastic.
The best way.
Fantastic. So you can also learn more about Julia by visiting the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. Your picture, your bio, everything's on there. And this was fantastic. And keep me posted on the next event.
I will. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's always great to talk to you, really.
Thank you. I love talking to you.
You too. Be well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, so that was Julia Bendis, and if you missed any part of this, I will upload this as a podcast within an hour after I wrap. We will take a little break, and then I have a previous guest, Val Walker, is going to be back, author of 400 Friends and No One to Call. She was on my show about 5 years ago, and she's released a new book called Healing Through Wonder. It came out January 8th. And she shares her journey of healing from trauma and loss. A picture of her book is right now up on the show blog. Again, that's getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And if you're not familiar with KUCI, you can head over to kuci.org. You can visit our socials at KUCI FM. If you want to find out about being a guest on my show, I am accepting pitches, and probably not until March. You can send me an email to Janeane, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org. We'll take a little break, and then we will be back. You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.